Today on Real Radio.
God's evidence is everywhere, and I no longer need to be ignorant about the very existence of God. I can apply my mind to the evidence and come to the understanding that all things scream of a great designer, a great engineer.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter exploration through the New Testament narrative written by Luke and is examining the latter half of chapter 19. It is often said that the Judeo-Christian faith is the only faith that is truly defendable intellectually, from the existence of its author all the way to the reliability of his written word. And there are reasons for this, as Pastor Jack demonstrates in this series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
Ignoramus. You ever heard the word? It's based upon a Greek word. Ignoramus is this, that there's things out there that can be known, I just don't know them. Agnostic comes from the word ignoramus. I'm not making this up. You say, well, I'm an agnostic. Do you know what you're saying? You are saying that there is somewhere a God who can probably be known, but I haven't pursued him and I don't know him. Your own admission of what you're saying is indicting yourself. When Paul comes to Athens, he says, hey, I want to talk to you about this God that you don't know about. This God. He says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. Is that not awesome? You guys, I love Paul because everywhere Paul went, he either got in trouble, he got arrested, or he got thrown out. That's radical Christianity. Did you hear me? If Paul came, read the life of Paul. If he came to church today, he'd probably fire me and throw you out of the building because we're too passive. We're too calm. Every town and city Paul went into, he found out, where's the closest synagogue? It's right down the street over there in Corinth. Cool, thanks. He goes into the town, he goes into the synagogue, and what does he say? He's, hey, I want to talk to you about resurrection from the dead through Jesus Christ. He shakes it all up. That's radical Christianity. That's how we need to live. When you leave here today, take the cross with you. Without the cross, the world's got no hope. And by the way, if you go on to read Acts chapter 17 later on, read it. Paul wound up getting to the point there. He said, I want to proclaim to you about Jesus Christ who is risen from the dead. Man's condition in life without knowing God is ignorance. Because we know this for a fact that God exists. The evidence is overwhelming. If we will, without bias, look at the evidence, we must ask the question then, can I know this God? And it's all about the cross. The cross is the meeting place. It is the gathering point to know this God, the Creator. But listen, that's the man without the cross. The man with the cross says things like this, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in bodily form. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. How did God reconcile mankind to himself? By him, whether things on earth or things under the earth, having made peace through the blood of his, what? Cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the man with the cross says. Listen, don't raise your hand. Are you visiting for the first time today? Are you not a Christian today, perhaps? And you want to find out what's with Christians? Let me be the first to tell you. We are people who have come to the cross. And we recognize that Jesus died on the cross for us. And outside of that, my friends, we have no claim to fame. All of us are exactly the same people. We were in this world, we were lost, and we were alienated from God. But the amazing thing happened is that Christ made peace between lost mankind and the eternal God by meeting us at that cross. Christians, in the year of whatever year this is, I forget, we need to be people of the cross. You remove the cross and you have no Christianity. Also this, what is man's condition in life? Is man's condition one of incomplete? Is man incomplete? The man without the cross is incomplete. You might be saying, Jack, you're offending me. I don't know Jesus. I don't care about the cross. And you're saying that I'm ignorant. You're saying that I'm incomplete. I'm saying to you, I love you. But yes, you are incomplete and ignorant of this very one who's the creator who loves you. The argument of God to you today is that you may know him. He wants you to know him. But there's a way that you must know him. And a man without the cross says things like this, that it's experience that will bring my completeness. If I just have more experiences under my belt, I will then have success. And success, of course, produces satisfaction. That man without the cross says all he needs is to get all that he wants. Think about it. All he needs in life is to get what he wants. Listen, I have to tell you, that was my life before I met Jesus. I don't know about you, but in some way, shape, or form, that statement was true before you met Jesus. What is going to satisfy me? I know what it is. Attaining everything that I want. And what are those things? And people, today we are driven. What drives you today? What drives you today? What drives your thinking? What drives your passion? What drives your... Is it money? Is it success? Is it education? I'm not knocking any of those things. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Put God first. I believe, watch out, ushers, guard the doors. I believe that on our universities today, in our high schools, or in our elementary schools, that if we are teaching our kids to be satisfied with the pursuit of possessions and of success, and they will be satisfied, why are we lying to them? Why are we not telling them the truth? Did you know to be able to graduate from Harvard, when Harvard was founded, you had to have Bible first and graduate with Greek and Hebrew? First of all, you couldn't get into Harvard without knowing Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Did you know that? That was a requirement. And you had to agree to Bible 2 hours a day at Harvard. Did you know that? Guess what? It was the same thing at Yale. Did you know that? It was the same thing at Princeton. When you go and look at the logo on UCLA, did you know if you look at the logo, it's an open book. Look closely, unless they've changed it. If for some of you who have some good old UCLA diplomas, look closely to the logo at UCLA. It's a book wide open, and it says, let there be light. Go ahead and achieve all that God leads you to achieve. But listen, just make sure that God is first in your life. Young people, you need to hear that. You can have a Porsche, you can have a plane, you can have a boat, you can have the best, the biggest, the hottest, the whatever, and you'll be empty in life. And you'll be searching for that cocaine or for that drug, but that won't be enough either. They'll always, always, in this life, the world will leave us incomplete. God will not do that. But the man without the cross says things like this, Mark 8:36. For what will it profit, Jesus said, if a man gains the entire world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh man, I've got to have this thing. And then I'll be happy. What does the man with the cross say? A Christian who knows about the cross, who understands what the cross is all about and why Jesus rode on this day into Jerusalem. In our study before us, Philippians 3, verse 7. Philippians 3, 7 says this, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. And Paul had achieved great status and wealth, I might add. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. By the word, the word in Greek implies this: not having my own righteousness, which is attempted by trying to keep the law, which is not possible, but that which is brought through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. My friend, you're either going to heaven or hell today based upon your view of the cross. Every cult in the world denies the cross. Did you know that? Look it up. Find a cult, study them, find out what they think about the cross. That either Jesus did not die on the cross, or that somebody else died in his place. There was a switch. That's a very popular view. Or that there was no cross at all. Or that they deny that Jesus was in fact the Christ of God. Amazing. What's man's condition in this life? We also learn this. Is man's condition one of isolation, ignorance, incomplete, without knowing God personally through the cross, and isolation? Is man in his condition left alone, isolated? Well, the man without the cross is things like this. Is that somehow in the end, listen, it's all going to work out. A man who is isolated from God without the cross is a man who says, I think it's all going to work out in the end. Have you ever heard that before? Man, I've heard that. We will continue to hear that. Well, you ask somebody, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die? Have you ever thought about death? You know, our society's too polite. I'm pumped up because I'm still living off the residual high of having been in the Middle East and being in Jordan and being in Israel. And you know what? Nobody's shy about religion there. It's just like talking about the weather. But in America, we can talk about anything and everything, but don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion. And if you do talk about those two things, whatever you do, here's the rules of engagement. No cross, no Jesus, no sin. There's nothing to talk about then. Because of sin, Jesus went to the cross. Well, isolation, a man without God, a man without the cross, says all things will work out in the end. I think I'll be pretty good. I think it's all going to conclude in my favor. Things will be fine. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 6, for the person who lives for pleasure is dead while that person lives. Wow, the person who lives for pleasure is dead while they yet live. Man, that's a, you know, I guess it's a really big deal. I'm hearing, you guys, I have to confess, I just heard about this. I'm pretty ignorant about this stuff. I didn't know, you know, the super rich, I guess, and even people who are with charge cards, they're hiring personal coaches. Have you heard about this? I just heard about this. So it looks like most of you are as ignorant as I am about it. Personal coaches. You can hire a personal coach. It's called what? A lifestyle or a life coach. A life coach. I am your life coach. Can you imagine? Just run your credit card through and I'll start talking. Are you kidding me? A life coach. Now, I may be offending somebody here this morning. If you have a life coach, I'm sorry. But you know what? I have a life coach that trumps your life coach any day. Oh, my goodness. Does your life coach tell you how to deal with worry? My life coach says turn to Philippians 4 and start reading there. Does your life coach say you're something, you're special, you need to think great thoughts about you? My life coach says, you know what, I have loved you with an everlasting love. My life coach says, I value you so much that I sent my son to go to the cross to die for your sins. That's how much I value you. And listen, your life coach is going to die someday. What are you going to do? Oh my gosh, now what are we creating for the future? What happened? I can't cope. What happened? My life coach died. Well, let's wait 3 days and see what happens to him. Your life coach died. My life coach died because the book said he was going to. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 says that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was dead and came back to life. Wow! Now that's the kind of life coach I want to hear from. You kind of like the face I'm putting on right now? I'm trying to be so life coach. Let's hear it for God. That's who we need to hear it for. Man is isolated. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, remember, the Bible says, remember that in times past, you and I were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That means the promises that God gave to Israel, which is a cool verse, by the way. Whatever promises God gave to Israel, he's given to us to apply to our Gentile lives. Isn't that cool? Isn't that fun? He's grafted us in. You know how God says, you know what, I'm going to be with you, I'll never forsake you? Well, yeah, that's in Book of Hebrews, isn't it? Yeah, but he's quoting the Old Testament. What does Paul do? I believe Paul wrote the Book of Hebrews. He turns around and applies a promise given to the Jewish people. He turns around and applies it to anyone who will believe in the Lord. Hallelujah for that. That's cool. How do you know when you read the Old Testament that the promise is there, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, says the Bible? How can you stand on that? Because by faith in Christ, you've been grafted in, and you all the promises of this book are yes and amen, say the Bible. What a great thing that is. But listen, he says that we were once aliens to God and without hope in this world, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world. And that's where man is, by the way, without that cross that we're talking about. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that is being very, very distant from God, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, the man without the cross is alienated from God. I'm not going to name this person's name. I could probably get sued. He's got the power to do it. But a certain famous preacher today, worldwide television, said in an interview, I will never talk about the cross or sin because it's not a positive thought. Ladies and gentlemen, that is heresy in the first degree. There is no salvation without the cross. Let's pretend for a second. We'll wrap this up soon. We will end on time. It's amazing because I'm telling you, it's going to be it's probably be a four-part message at this rate. You guys, let's just pretend for a moment that all of us wanted to go to Disneyland today. It's going to be a beautiful day today, nice, perfect day, and we want to go to Disneyland. Let's say you want to go, but you can't afford to go. But you want to go. What would happen is, if someone stepped up and said, you know what, whoever wants to go, get in line, I'll pay. And I don't know what they require these days to get into Disneyland. I know it's your firstborn for sure. But the expense is ridiculous. And let's remember, you cannot afford it. You cannot pay for it. And people are going to the Magic Kingdom and you can't go. You have no power, you have no resources, you have scoured your life, and you don't have enough to go. And someone steps in and says, I'm going to buy the ticket. And you say, well, that's cool, thank you very much. But he not only buys the ticket, the currency that's required to buy the ticket is not U.S. dollars or euros. Guess what the currency is? It's blood. Blood. You mean the guy that invited me to go into the kingdom? He's going to have to give his blood? He's going to bleed out and die so I can go have fun? Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ goes to the cross and, as it were, bleeds out, so to speak, for us, that a kingdom becomes available to us. You and I have no problem. You have no problem if Pastor Jack said, meet me at the gate today at 2 o'clock and we'll go to the Magic Kingdom. It's on me. You'd say, hey, cool, let's go. Don't ask. Don't ask how he's going to pay. We'll just go take him up on the offer. Okay. And you'd have a sweet time, even a sweeter time because somebody else paid, right? You ever been out to dinner with somebody and they pay? It tastes even better. Heaven is only accessible by the cross. And so why did Jesus ride on that donkey into Jerusalem on this day in history that we look at in our study today? Because God is stirring the pot to argue with you. Last and final verse, Colossians 2:13. This is what the man with the cross says. He's not isolated. He's not alienated from God. He wakes up. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, that is your heart had no feeling toward God. It was just dead. He has made alive together with him, Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. Church, wow. How many sins did Jesus forgive of yours at the cross?
All.
Say it again.
All.
Yes, all of them, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken them out of the way, having nailed them to his cross. It is glorious. The ever-present argument of God is, look to the cross and be ye saved, saith the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from the latter portion of chapter 19. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, a reminder of our special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's an examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. In fact, Pastor Jack, you can tell us more about it.
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance. That they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so this series is very, very direct regarding this specific topic.
Yes, it is. And to obtain Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the continuing work of Real Radio, and we'll be glad to send you the DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program is sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.